This is the problem. Take a pair of scales of the old-fashioned.
The heart is the organ of love, but it's also a mighty pump. In an average 75-year lifespan, it will pump around 200,000 tons of blood. That's the weight of one of those super giant luxury liners. So, how about this for a bit of a shocker? It might be possible to make your heart stronger by zapping it with carefully timed jolts of electricity. In the short term, you would mess with the internal rhythm of the heart and make it less efficient. But in the long term, you might make it stronger. Now, we humans go through life with only one heart, and it's absolutely essential, so it's not the kind of messing around that you would do lightly. So let's examine the heart. Your heart has four separate chambers, the right atrium and the right ventricle, and the left atrium and left ventricle. There is a detour after the second chamber, the right ventricle. Instead of going directly into the third chamber of the heart, the left atrium, the deoxygenated blood is pumped to the lungs, where it picks up oxygen, and only then flows into the third chamber, and then the fourth, the left ventricle. If you do want to get all mechanical, just think of the heart as a four-stage pump. These chambers are very carefully timed in the way they operate. Each of the four chambers accepts blood coming into it, squeezes in a beautifully synchronized manner, and pushes that blood at a higher pressure onwards. All this without a second thought from you. The process starts with deoxygenated blood from the veins flowing at the low pressure of about 5 millimeters of mercury into the first heart chamber, the right atrium. The right atrium pumps up to about 10 millimeters of mercury and sends it, with exactly the right timing, to the second chamber, the right ventricle. The right ventricle pumps the blood up to about 25 millimeters of mercury and sends it off to the lungs. Inside the lungs, there is a massive process of gases being swapped around. Oxygen leaves the air in the lungs and crosses the very thin alveolar membrane to enter the blood. And that's how the blood gets oxygenated. At the same time, and at the same place, the carbon dioxide in the blood crosses the alveolar membrane in the opposite direction and enters the lungs. So you breathe in air that contains about 20% oxygen, and you breathe out air that now contains about 16% oxygen and 4% carbon dioxide. This gas exchange happens with each of those 15 breaths you have every minute. So the lungs are literally awesome. They have about 2,400 kilometers of airways for the air to travel in and out of with each breath. About 400 million alveoli with very thin walls to allow the oxygen and the carbon dioxide to go into and out of the blood. And a total surface area of about 60 square meters to make it easier for the gases to cross over. 60 square meters is about half a tennis court. As you might imagine, there is a bit of resistance to blood flow inside the lungs. So, while it enters the blood vessels of the lungs with a pressure of 25 millimeters of mercury, it leaves at a much lower pressure, about 10 millimeters of mercury. But it is now well and truly oxygenated. This oxygenated blood now returns to the heart and flows into the third chamber of the heart, that is, the left atrium. It leaves the left atrium and is forced into the left ventricle, the fourth and last chamber of the heart. The left ventricle is probably the hardest working chamber of the heart. About 4 seconds after the low-pressure, deoxygenated blood entered the heart at the right atrium, the left ventricle pumps this now oxygenated blood at the high pressure of about 120 millimeters of mercury to the aorta, and then to your general circulation. For your heart to run at peak efficiency, the timing of the pumping of the blood at all stages between the first and fourth chambers has to be very precise. Now, there's a whole range of different problems you can have with the heart. One of them is called heart failure. And in heart failure, for a variety of reasons, one or more of the chambers of the heart no longer squeezes as effectively as before. About 5 million Americans suffer from heart failure. Now, about one quarter of these 5 million Americans have their heart failure caused by a timing problem. More specifically, the various chambers have lost their exact synchrony with each other, so the blood doesn't get moved as efficiently. It was the results of a new treatment for this variety of heart failure that led to an unexpected discovery, and a possible new way to make your heart stronger by temporarily weakening it. And I'll talk more about that next time.
What does it mean? Why is it so?